All right. Did we finish with spills, leaks, investigation, and cleanup?
Yes, we did.
Okay. Then we can move on to agenda item 19, terminating interim alternative water delivery, Olin Corporation. Mr. Briggs.
Thank you. This item has to do with criteria basically established through the State Board's consideration of a petition regarding the requirements of Olin for providing bottled water or alternative water supply. And David Athey of our staff is actually pretty much after this item not working on the Olin site anymore, as he's our senior engineer responsible for the northern permitting, but he has been following through with this item and taking it to its conclusion today. So, David Athey.
Before he starts, Mr. Shellcross has a statement.
Earlier, I recused myself off of this item because I had, when I was working for Assemblymember John Laird, I was a member of the Perchloric Community Action Group that worked on this item and was advocating for on behalf of the assembly member. I haven't been doing that for a year and a half, and I have not been in contact with any of the parties on this item or on any of the issues surrounding it. And so unless there's any objections, I'm going to remain on the item.
Thank you for the true confession, Mr. Shellcross.
It was hard.
Okay.
Chairman Young, members of the board, David Athey. I am senior engineer of the landfill and Northern Point Source Unit, here to present an item for your consideration. I'm going to just go through this real quick. I'm going to give you a background, talk about Olin's request, show you a map, talk about the comments just briefly, our proposed changes to the, it says order, it's actually a resolution, my recommendation, and take any questions from you. So with that, in July 2004, we issued a CAO requiring alternative water supply for residents with impacted wells at 4 PPB. In August, Olin appealed to the State Board. They did not agree. They thought the level should be 6 PPB and not 4 PPB. Oh, can I hear me? I'm sorry.
Into the mic a little more.
Can you hear me now? Oh, good. It's kind of weird to get the feedback, but I'll bear with it. In August 2004, Olin appealed. In May, the State Board issued, May 2005, State Board issued its water quality order, establishing a greater than 6 PPB threshold for alternative water supply. That's interim and long term. Now, interim, Olin has chosen to use bottled water as a supply method. Long term, they've been developing a wellhead treatment system. Now, today I'm only talking about short-term bottled water supply. So if you hear me say bottled water supply or interim alternative water supply, it's really the same thing in this instance. In September, Olin requested that we stop, the regional board allow Olin to stop bottled water supply to 78 residents, or actually 78 wells, with 168 users of those 78 wells, the bottled water supply to those folks. So that's Olin's basic request. Now, that request, there's a couple issues that have to be satisfied before that can be allowed. One is they have four continuous quarters of data with less than 6 part per billion results. And they have that. We've checked the data. The other item is, since some of the data has been collected prior to the State Board order issuance, this item has to be considered by the board. So that's why we're here today. After May of 2005, if Olin has four quarters, it's an administrative item, and the executive officer can make that decision at that time. But since this is past data, the State Board wanted you to have the consider all the facts surrounding it on this issue. Yes, sir.
Maybe I'm jumping the gun. Your staff report makes it sound as though we have no discretion here, that in essence that the state board kicked it to us, but with only one outcome possible. Could you comment on that?
I could. You do have discretion.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hogan. So, I think the what I'm discussing is that according to the state board order, Olin can bring this before you and ask to stop bottled water prior to having 4 quarters of data after the state board order. So I'm sorry I didn't make that clear.
Thank you. I just wanted that to be absolutely crystal clear.
Thanks. Appreciate that. We have looked at the data. According to the data they had submitted, it meets the requirement for stopping bottled water supply for continuous quarters. In this instance, all the data is either non-detect at 4 parts per billion, that means there was no trace detection, or they have trace detections. And a trace detection really is an estimate by the laboratory. They know it's there. They assign it a number. They give it a probability of being that number, but they can't really say it's actually that number. So all this data is actually well below the greater than 6 ppb threshold. We're talking about the lowest detection wells here. There is going to be some well monitoring. There's 6 wells that are within 500 feet of a 6 part per billion well, and those wells will be monitored on a schedule that's included in the state board order. There's also another well, which I'll talk about in a bit, that has actually had a recent result at 4.4, which kicks it into a new monitoring scheme. We set up our monitoring scheme, and I can talk about that if you have questions, but it has a little greater frequency of monitoring. This is consistent with past actions regional board staff has taken. This requirement to allow Olin to stop bottled water supply, interim alternative water supply, is consistent with our original CAO. So there was really no change here other than the board's consideration. Oh, and now I'm getting to the map. So you can see on this map, this is the Olin site here, and this is typically Morgan Hill in this area. The blue squares represent the wells that are being cut off from bottled water supply. The yellow squares indicate a well that's within 500 feet of a 6 ppb well. The orange square, which is really hard to see at this point, is the well that came back with a 4.4 ppb result, which will be kicked up into the higher monitoring scheme. I just wanted to point out where that well was, so if there was any questions on that. Now, this is the north half of the Yagas groundwater basin. In the south, now, and this is Gilroy down here. North is in this direction. West is this direction. These wells are down here in this area. There's fewer wells, and that's a function that there's larger farms, less dense population in this area. And we did receive comments from 5 different interested parties, and those are addressed in the staff report. I'm not going to get into the details of those here. We have made changes to the order based on those comments. We clarified finding 7 regarding plume characterization, made that a little more clear of what the current status is. That plume characterization is currently ongoing. We expect a detailed report actually in March of this year, March 30th, which will add much more information there. We also added an ordering paragraph 3. As I talked about before, we have a well that had a higher monitoring result, and that kicked it into a new monitoring scheme. That well is P014. There's a finding 3 added to the order to just identify that and make it clear. With that, I recommend adoption with the staff proposed changes of resolution. Any questions?
4 quarters after the state board's order would be somewhere out in the summer, late spring, summer?
Anytime after May 19th, 2005.
So, well,
correct.
Okay.
Yes, but it's a year from May 19th, they could have four quarters of data.
Okay, so potentially, if you were talking about board meetings, potentially the May meeting or the July meeting of this year.
I would say the July meeting.
Okay.
Actually, if it's after May 19th or before prospective quarters, and it wouldn't come to the board.
All right. Okay. All right. I'm just what I'm getting at is I'm in favor of waiting, and I would justify that at a minimum by asking that we let four quarters go by after the state board's order before we or the executive officer consider this. That's just a more prudent, precautionary approach, and I think the residents deserve that.
Would we also have another monitoring, well report monitoring by that time?
That's correct. There will be another report due, I believe, April 30th, the first quarter 2006 report.
So we'd have another one to look at and make sure it's continued to somewhat clean in some of the wells and some trace in others?
That's correct. I also had our student look at the current results from the fourth quarter 2005, which the data was not included in Olin's original submittal. And that data still indicates these wells are below four.
With the exception of the one that went up?
That's correct. That result is a third-party result. It was taken by the landowner, a consultant hired by the, actually through a law firm hired by the landowner.
Mr. Shallcross, what are your thoughts on this? And I put you on the spot because I know you've been following this intimately, so I'm interested.
All through this, I think it behooves us to be to take the most prudent and thoughtful approach. There's still some unknowns about the plume. Still, a lot of people aren't convinced about the levels of perchlorate that should trigger any actions, and so I would tend to agree with Dr. Press and that we should move as prudently and as cautiously as possible. For everyone's concerned, in particular the folks that are impacted by the pollutant.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I also agree with that because I think by the next report, most of the agriculture in that area will be geared up and start pumping. And if there's going to be any change, we'll see that. And since we haven't had as much rainfall so far this year as we've had last year, if there's going to be any additional detection, I think it'll show up with this next evaluation and report. So I'd like to, you know, extend this out as far as we possibly can to make sure, because it's a critical situation as well as the others we've talked about this morning already, but it affects a whole lot of people up and down that valley.
Okay. Mr. Briggs?
Before we get too far down the road in terms of board deliberations, we should make sure that there aren't any public folks who want to address the board. And I don't think we have any cards up here, but I know Mr. Richards from Olin Corporation is here.
Yes, my name is Kurt Richards. I'm with Olin Corporation. I would like to make a few comments before the board makes a decision. First of all, I'd like to comment the fact that these wells currently are non-detect. These are below the detection limits that are practical for this particular chemical. I would also like to state that recently the U.S. EPA has determined that 24.5 parts per billion is an acceptable drinking water standard for perchlorate. The state of California has determined up to 6 parts per billion is acceptable to drink. The wells we're talking about today are non-detect. These are not wells that have perchlorate anywhere near a proposed or current drinking water standard. The second comment I'd like to make is about the state order. The state order specifies that we need to come before this board prior to, I believe it's May the 19th, when we have four consecutive quarters below the six parts per billion standard. After that point in time, Olin has the ability to discontinue bottled water. The state order does not require the executive officer to approve that. The state order specifies Olin does not have to continue to provide alternative water below six parts per billion perchlorate. So the decision today is just delaying something that's going to happen anyhow. And there is no danger, there is no risk of these individuals drinking this water. It's been a very substantial cost issue to Olin, money that's been spent that could be used better in other places. So I would like the board to at least consider that as they deliberate on their findings here. And I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Sir, do you live in that area?
No, I do not.
Do you drink any of that water?
No, I do not.
Thank you.
The National Academy of Science did a study on health effects of perchlorate. The best scientists in the country looked at the health issues associated with this chemical. They determined 24.5 billion parts per billion was acceptable to the fetus, to unborn children, to children, etc. They have determined what the health risk is. The state of California has also done their own independent determination, and currently 6 parts per billion is the standard that is going through the state for approval. It's currently at the finance department for them to make their decision. It's already been recommended by the health department in the state of California.
You know what's interesting about that is that you have such a great disparity between those two numbers. The feds think it's 24.5. The state thinks it's 6.
You have to get into how they develop health risk standards. And we brought an individual before this board a year and a half ago, 2 years ago, to try to explain that.
Right.
The federal standard is 10 times less than the standard for a normal human being to drink perchlorate. 245 parts per billion for an average person can drink that without any health effect. They put in a factor of 10 to take into account unborn children and pregnant women. And that's how they arrive at the standard. California, as most of you are aware, take even a more precautionary principle in applying that standard. And the 6 parts per billion is the standard they've accepted. We recently had to submit a cleanup level report as part of our cleanup and abatement order. We went through our own independent analysis of all the data and came up with 11 parts per billion as acceptable as a health standard for the cleanup perchlorate in the state of California. Now, that's not the level we're proposing by any means, but that's the level based upon analysis of the current data of what it could be with still a tenfold factor of health risk in that number.
Okay. Any other questions?
I'd like to make a comment on the NAS, the disparate.
Sure.
You know, there's something that's not talked about a lot, but the NAS, in particular on this issue, is also subject to political and industry pressures that would account for a higher level. Of perchlorate, and I know people don't like to talk about that, but several of the scientists on that group actually come from the industry and are basically industry hacks, as far as I can tell. So that might account for some of the disparity.
Even putting Mr. Shallcross's comment aside, yep. I think I recall reading where the military. U.S. military was proposing even a much higher number.
220, but that was based on a normal human being, not protecting necessarily unborn children, et cetera.
Right.
So you'd take a tenfold and been 22.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I see that Sylvia Hamilton is here. Did you wish to address us on this matter? Please come up and identify yourself in the microphone.
Thank you very much. I apologize for being a little late. My name is Sylvia Hamilton. I live in San Martin. I'm the chair of the Perchloric Community Advisory Group. It's been my privilege to work with a lot of you folks, and I want to thank the chair and the board and the regional board staff. They have just been phenomenal. We are very, very appreciative to all of the efforts. As a matter of fact, we're very appreciative to the efforts of all of the involved parties. A great deal of time, energy, and money has gone into this, and our community is very grateful. Yes, you were talking about the various numbers. It gets very confusing for the public, especially with regard to the different numbers that are thrown out there as what's safe. I will tell you that from what I've been able to come up with from the community input, as well as PCAG members, that the wells that are on the list that you're looking at right now for stopping the bottled water appears to be very appropriate in our book. We are not interested in, we want Olin to get the greatest bang for the buck, and by that I mean the money is to go into the long-term cleanup and so forth. And yes, we want the community protected. One of the greatest concerns, actually there are two concerns I want to mention today. One of them has to do with the monitoring, and I am very hopeful that you're already and are doing exactly what I'm getting ready to say. But one of the concerns that the community has is that regardless of where and what levels you decide that it's okay to stop the bottled water, we want a very careful, we want a high priority to be on making sure that we have plenty of wells that are carefully monitored so that it never, ever falls in the lap of the community for them to be unsure as to whether they need to get well testing or not in case the trends change. Now, obviously, when you're in a city like Morgan Hill or whatever, it's easier. They do their regular testing. I'm not saying it's easier for them. I'm simply saying that because of it being municipal wells, it's easier to test and know exactly what's happening because there aren't so many. But when you get into the San Martin community, you've got thousands, as you know, of privately owned wells. It would be almost impossible for those folks to know for sure if the trend was changing. And that takes me to another area, which has to do with the trend. At this point, I'd like to look at myself as an optimist. I'm afraid on this trend going downward, I keep questioning everything. I am not as willing to get too overly excited about the fact that it's going down. Sure, I like the fact that people are having to deal with lower levels. Yes, absolutely. I just don't know the reason for the change. And some people have tried to tell me that it's because the source has been cut off. Well, obviously, that would make sense for the wells close to the site. But I don't think it makes sense for the whole plume all at once to go down as much as it has. So I'm very concerned that we keep that as a top priority and that we watch the monitoring wells that are being checked. And if we do see an upward trend, we start looking at some of those other wells that the monitoring has been stopped for. Because I don't want, like I said, the community to end up being unsure as to whether their well truly is still safe or not. I don't personally think that perchlorate has gotten up and turned heel and left our community. I'm concerned that we had a very wet year last year and that that has played a much larger part in this than we are aware of at this time. PCAG, I assure you, will continue to hold education, active listening, and open communication as our top priorities towards keeping everybody, all parties, at the table, working together to find the most appropriate, timely, long-term solutions. Thank you very much. If you have any questions.
Let's see. Do we? Dr. Press?
Actually, I have a question for Mr. Assey, though you may, somebody else may be able to answer it as well. Did I see in the, I guess I didn't, but maybe it's there. What's the history of perchlorate in these wells, if at all, if any?
That's a good question. I have a slide here I can show you. It's hard to see. I apologize for the lighting in here, but the wells I have in yellow are wells. Well, first of all the wells with the green or the blue squares have been less than 4 non-detect or trace for the entire 4 quarters or even all the data That was presented by Olin. The data, the squares that are yellow, at one point in the monitoring, this well has been over 4 ppb. And the orange squares represents a well that has been over 5 parts per billion. However, none of these wells have been over 6 on the list. So as you can see, I believe there's 9 wells out of the 78 that have been over 4, and 4 wells that have been over 5. However, they all have been non-detect or less than 4, non-detect less than 4 or trace for the last 4 quarters. Does that answer your question? I mean, is that...
Well, it tells me that... some of the wells are on the list slated to be to not be monitored and for cessation of bottled water. Some of them some have been close to wells that have had hits, right?
Some of these blue...
Yes,
they have been close, but none of these wells have been over 6 or meet the current requirements for alternative water supply. Typically these wells are down the axis of the valley, which, seeing these results, except for these 2 outliers out here, makes sense. The plume comes down the valley, crosses 101, and stretches down to Gilroy. So seeing these results doesn't surprise me at all at this point. Monitoring is ongoing out here. So if we see trends, the wells that are monitored from 4 to 5 and 5 to 6, Olin's required the trend analysis on those wells using a statistical program. So if they see an increasing trend in the valley, say let's just say that rainfall decreases for the next 3 years, we'll be able to catch those trends. And if that trend indicates wells are starting to go over 6, more monitoring is needed, we can immediately issue new monitoring requirements to Olin, with that data.
How many wells will continue to be monitored, especially in the area where you have the larger concentration of yellow?
This is the map I have for the wells that will be monitored. These 6 yellow dots on here will be the wells that are monitored. I don't have it in relation to the wells at this point, which have been over 4 at any time.
Okay, I'm trying to figure out how you would answer the residents' question about being alerted that there's a change in their drinking water well if it's not being monitored directly.
Could I respond to that, please, Mr.
Chair? Sure, that's all right. Come forward.
David, could you show the map that shows all the wells that have been monitored? I think this is important to note. We have monitored over 800 wells.
You speak into the microphone.
I'm sorry. We have monitored over 853 wells in this area. It's not like there's some isolated data points. I mean, we have a consistent trend of data up and down the valley. And what we're asking for in this case with the 78 wells, as you can see, all the blue, most all these are located in those areas where there's lots of blue. Now, we don't have 4 consecutive quarters in some cases, but that's the latest data that we have in the valley. I would also like to comment about some of the historical data. Some of the data is information that was provided by private well owners, in some cases, I think, suspect to the quality of the data, and some of it was provided by the Valley Water District, which once again was very early in the program, and there's some question about the quality of the data. The last 4 consecutive quarters of data is information that's been data validated. We provided all that information to the regional board to substantiate the results. So yes. I think it's important to keep this in perspective of what all is being monitored up and down the valley. We're still monitoring every one of those wells we're still monitoring the 78, but what will go away is only 78 of those wells. We'll continue to monitor all those wells until we have 4 consecutive quarters. Thank you.
And so, Ms. Hamilton, you're okay with this?
Yes, basically. I would like to add something to what Mr. Richard just said, if I could. And I do agree they've done an extensive job, wonderful job of monitoring so many wells. I'm very, very clear on that. But we have one group of wells right now that are going to be, the delivered bottled water is going to be stopped, and the monitoring of those wells will stop. As he just indicated, there will be an additional grouping of wells, I'm sure, in the not-too-distant future that then have had four quarters. I just want us to constantly have in our minds that we need to make sure we have it carefully covered around the entire plume as we move forward. You know, and you know, he indicated, it sounded like to me just now, that he was saying that there really is not a downward trend, that the reason it appears that way is because, if I understood correctly, because some of the data points that they had early on were not as accurate as the current ones. That's not the way it's being presented to the community. It's being presented as a downward trend. And my question on that part comes from the fact that how could it possibly have gone in a downward manner that quickly? And if it did, then that has to bring up another question. What were people living with 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ago? What was the level of contamination at that point? We'd have to relook at that.
Okay. Well, a card. Dr. Hunter, go ahead.
Thank you. If I could ask for a little more explanation on the map that we have on the wall right now. The red areas indicate what?
Let me, I need to add a caveat to this map. This was provided to me by the Santa Clara Valley Water District, and not all wells are shown on this map. This is, I wanted to have a representation of the, a general representation of all the monitoring that goes out in this valley, and how many wells are actually sampled, to get to some other questions today about, you know, how we're going to see trends. This is one way we're going to see trends.
So does that mean that this map provided to you by the Water District reflects the data that they're collecting?
This reflects their database. It turns out that not all wells are represented in their database. So it's close, but doesn't include all the wells. So it's not you wouldn't say it's an accurate representation of a monitoring network or anything like that. It's just a representation of the wells in the valley. Now, you had a question regarding the wells in red.
Yeah, I'm trying to interpret the key in the bottom left.
Correct. The wells that are red are 6 ppb and over. And there's different shapes, and I don't see any on here for those different concentration ranges. The wells in yellow are 4 to 6 ppb wells. The wells that are kind of gray or white are less than 4 non-detect or trace wells.
So the wells in red, how is that then reflected in the monitoring plan that the State Water Board has put into place and that we have put into place in the monitoring reporting program plan? What's the relationship between those locations and the 6 wells that we're monitoring, or the 13 that showed at some point greater than 4 but less than 6? Mm-hmm. And you're telling me that some of the wells in the area are showing much higher levels than that. So
that's correct. I mean, if it's a higher level and a well was within, a non-detect well was within 500 feet of it, it would still be monitored according to the State Board order. So just because let's just say it was 10, it would be it was within 500 feet of a 10 ppb well, it would be monitored. That well would be monitored. It's just not 6. I say 6 and over. So anything over 6. 6 and over.
Well, did I misunderstand then? You tell me that the red are greater than 6.
6 and greater.
6 and greater.
Correct.
So those locations where I see those red dots,
mm-hmm.
What is the relationship between those locations and the 6 wells that we are monitoring?
I don't have it on this map. Let me show you a different one.
Well, is there some kind of correspondence between those two? Because those clearly fall above the standard.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
I'm trying to understand how our six wells and the monitoring data that we're collecting is going to monitor those areas that clearly fall above the standard. What I'm hearing from you is that the wells we're monitoring never measured higher than six. Yet there are locations that do measure higher than
six. That's correct.
So what kind of monitoring will, and what kind of water quality monitoring that we're collecting the data on is going to reflect those locations that are greater than six?
Oh, well, those wells are currently tested by Olin. Actually, right now, Olin supplies, I believe it's over 800 well user or wells and their users with alternative water supply. Now, it'll go down if this is adopted today by the board. So all those wells are monitored, currently monitored quarterly. We also have another monitoring program for the plume itself for characterization, and Olin has installed, I believe, 10 wells now. They're multi-level. They've installed wells to the north of the site. There's four wells there that are multi-level wells, different aquifer intervals. So monitoring the monitoring for bottled water is separate from monitoring the plume. So we have both programs, and there's a lot of monitoring going on in this valley right now. So those wells that are at five will be monitored. If they're part of the, they could be dual monitoring. They could be monitored part of the cleanup program. They could be monitored according to the water supply program. There could be dual monitoring. There could be just water monitoring for the water supply. If it's just water supply, and let's say we have a well that's at 4 ppb and it's been at 4 ppb for four quarters, that well, Olin could request to stop bottled water supply to that well. There is a monitoring requirement in the state board order that requires additional follow-up monitoring for those wells. And those wells from 4 to 6 also have trend analysis requirements, so we can see if trends are increasing or decreasing in the valley. And from that, all that data as it comes in, we can make good decisions on additional monitoring in the future. You know, can we let Olin stop monitoring in some areas, for instance? Here on the edge of the valley, does it make sense to keep monitoring these wells if they're so far from the plume? You know, the general direction of groundwater flow regionally is to the southeast down the axis of the valley. So you're not as likely to get cross-gradient flow out to these areas. So, you know, we'll be evaluating all that information. On top of that, if we see we have a lot of white wells in this area, you know, if we see trends increasing in these yellow wells, that may be a good signal that these wells need additional monitoring. Or continued monitoring.
Thank you. That does help. So it sounds like there are at least three different monitoring programs.
That's correct. We're actually in the process of consolidating them and optimizing at this point.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
David, there's a couple of red wells there that are very close to blue squares.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, you know, why don't you put your laser kind of in the middle, and I'll go up a little bit to the left, and then up now, right there.
Okay.
You know, that perplexes me. You've got a red well, and then very close there's yellow, and then blue. That apparently would be down gradient. We're not going to be monitoring those blue wells anymore.
Those wells are not within 500 feet of that red dot. The problem with this map or any map you get on this scale, we're talking 10 miles of length here in this valley. If we had to really accurately represent that red dot, we wouldn't be able to see it on the screen. It's so small in relation to the scale of the valley.
Right.
So at this point, no, we would not be monitoring those wells further down gradient. There is a yellow well there. Right below that red well, it's hard to see. It's covered kind of by another square on the screen. But, you know, that well will be monitored. It's in the higher range. And if we see concentrations increasing in that well, we could take action for those wells that are further to the south. And we will be looking at that as time goes on.
Okay. Thank you. We have another speaker.
Thank you.
Craig O'Donnell with Assemblyman John Laird's office.
Can we have the lights back on, please?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As you said, I'm Craig O'Donnell, Monterey, Santa Clara County District Director for Assemblymember John Laird. Apologize that I'm coming in late, but it's a big district and a lot of things going on. I wanted to do a couple of things. One is to thank the regional board staff. This is David's last meeting, I believe, on this subject. So he's done a great job working with the community. I think your board can be very proud of the work that they do in interfacing between some very complex matters and how they affect individuals on the ground. And I know that the new team will do a wonderful job as well. I just wanted to make sure that that you knew our appreciation of their work. I also know that you have probably already read and seen the assembly member's comment letter in your packet. Wanted to just highlight it again, and the assembly member's general concern that, as we see, and as Mr. Chairman, as you pointed out, there are concerns, and we may be within certain boundaries that are on paper right now, but the assembly member is just concerned that once this bottled water delivery stops, the individuals have no personal satisfaction of knowing whether their water is tainted unless they incur the expense of testing the water themselves. The plume is moving. It's not fully characterized. We just don't know. And to put that burden on the individual is something that the assembly member does not agree with, and just wanted to make sure that that letter was highlighted. So.
And what is the assembly member's position with respect to the resolution that we've got?
Well, as he stated in his letter, he would like to see a monitoring program added for all wells that are going to be taken off. We didn't submit any specific language on how to do that, left it to the staff to respond to and make recommendations on their own, or the board to do as it sees fit. Didn't want to construct it to or constrain it to a small, narrow piece. But clearly some wells will continue to be monitored, but not all of them, and that is the concern. You know, and there are some, as Mr. Athey pointed out, just in general in the plume that, okay, common sense and logic says that maybe this shouldn't continue to be monitored, but then we see others such as the, I guess it's probably looks like about 6 or 7 blue squares right smack and dab in the middle of things, that, if I've understood the answer correctly, will not get monitored. You know, Mr. Laird's not a water policy expert. He's not a water quality engineer, but as someone who listens to his constituency and understands their concern, just feels that that really needs to be taken. A closer look needs to be taken at that. So.
Thank you.
If I may, I think if I clarify your question, I think there's the threshold question though of this resolution as far as whether to cease bottled water for the 78 wells, as opposed to the monitoring question.
I think on the matter of ending bottled water delivery itself, he does not have a position necessarily against that. I think personally, he, you know, as you may be aware, when the state board order first came out, he didn't amend current legislation that he had to try to deal with that. You know, when you get into the water code, we've hit a few snags, and I don't know what the future of that bill will be. But so as far as the actual threshold of removing replacement water, he didn't address that in the letter because on its face there are wells that probably do not require, when you look at the state standards, water at this time. But the concern is more, what if they need it in the future? And, you know, we can look at wells maybe across the street, but because there's so much variability within such a close distance, are the individuals truly protected against that 6 parts per billion threshold? As far as the removing of the water, the removing of the replacement water, you know, that's a decision that he decided not to take a position on, really, in this, but mostly to make sure that if the water is stopped, that the individual has the assurance that they won't. I mean, you know. The well owner is going to be the one that actually turns on the faucet and has to ask him or herself, okay, you know, are we still sure it's at 4 parts per billion before I take this glass?
Dr. Hunter.
Thank you. I am looking at the letter that the assembly member sent to us, and the question about 500 feet, that 500 feet criterion, where does that standard come from? Because he notes in his letter that movement of perchlorate is, 3 feet per day?
Estimated
at 3 feet per day. So does he have a thought, or is there some idea about reviewing that 500-foot kind of footprint for the continuing monitoring of contaminated wells?
The rationale for where that number came up from is something I'll leave to the staff to answer. As they've explained it, if I understand correctly, they took basically they took the 1,000-foot per year measure, halved it for 6 months, and figured that if they test quarterly, they'll know within a 6-month period. I think if I'm correct, that's the rationale for why it's currently that level. The statement he made in putting that in the letter was simply to show that the water's moving. Mm-hmm. Exactly what level the distance should be is not up to him to decide. That's for you and the staff to decide. But to simply state that 1,000 feet per year is a lot of movement, and these people will have their the cleanup will take a decade probably. I'm not sure what the exact time frame will be, and that could be 10,000 feet of movement. These people are having their replacement water stopped. Do they have the assurances that in that 10,000 feet of estimated movement, they're not going to get a spike again? That's the reason he brought it up. The rationale for it existing, I think I may have messed up the answer, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, can we? Is there some information about where that 500-foot area came from?
The time we negotiated the monitoring requirements, we believe that it was prudent to have the 500-foot requirement based on groundwater flow. It's 1 to 3 feet per day. Olin's done some in-situ testing. I think that's validated. The water district's validated that. So we believe that if a well was within 500 feet, additional monitoring would be prudent to see if, in that 6-month time frame, if concentrations have gone up. I think the good news, looking at the data, is we don't see spikes. And the good news is that these wells have never been over 6 since monitoring began. Now, monitoring for all these wells hasn't gone back to the beginning of this project, and we don't have... And this is one thing that I want to stress to the board, that we will be considering this. When the new data comes in from all the wells, we will be looking at it for seasonal variations. There could be variations because of well screen lengths. There could be variations because of well pumping in the valley. The city of Morgan Hill turns on their wells, and you can see an influence at the site itself. And those wells are up to a mile, 2 miles away. So in terms of looking at all these issues, we constantly reevaluate our monitoring requirements, and I think this is one where staff will quite frankly put a lot of time into, because we've only been looking at this site for a short period of time, this valley in general, and there wasn't prior to this there wasn't a lot of good data about what is going on with groundwater here. Now that Olin's doing the investigation, we're going to know that, and we're going to know it quickly. We've got a characterization report for the plume coming in on the 30th. That's going to give us a lot of information about groundwater elevations, movements, its current location, actual representations of groundwater quality, not quality from a supply well itself. As you can see here, we've got yellow dots, green dots, and red dots right next to each other, what appears to be next to each other. A lot of that is caused by well screening. Where is the well screened? Where is the gravel pack? Does it go within, a lot of these wells have gravel packs that go within 50 feet of the ground surface. Well, that intercepts a lot of different aquifer intervals. And so you can have dilution, we get less rainfall. We can have concentrations possibly going up. We've had, as something somebody noted here today, concentrations in the valley have been trending downwards. There's less wells now over 6 ppb and over, than there were when we started. I think in 2002, and we've had more rainfall than when we started in 2002. So, we've seen this gradual downward trend. We could see a gradual upward trend, and based on that data, we could require more monitoring. And we certainly do that.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, a couple of questions. Of the wells of the folks that are currently on bottled water and proposed to discontinue bottled water, are they monitored, those wells? Is the homeowner's wells monitored?
Correct.
They are.
All the wells that Olin currently supplies bottled water to are being monitored.
Being monitored.
Correct.
Okay, so what we have is a balancing act, I guess, between cost effectiveness, it's very expensive to deliver bottled water, and the need to reassure the homeowner that his well is safe or her well is safe. So perhaps an effective compromise might be to discontinue the bottled water but continue the monitoring. That would be a cost savings to Olin, and it would ensure or at least give some comfort to the homeowner of those wells.
I think that sums up the assembly member's position in a paragraph.
Let me ask a question in furtherance of that and actually pose it to Lori. I think what I heard from the Olin representative is that by default they're going to be able to do certain things in May, whether we do something or not. Is that correct?
Well, what the order says is if they have 4 quarters of monitoring below 6 with the executive officer's concurrence, they can stop bottled water, but the suggestion is that the executive officer just concurs that they have the monitoring and that there's no problems with the data.
Do we have any discretion over the monitoring of wells that go below 6 for 4 quarters?
What do you mean?
To continue monitoring.
To continue monitoring.
Not in the order today, because it wasn't noticed that way. The state board order does include a monitoring program that was based on a stipulation, so without new data, there's no basis to require more monitoring. But what Dave is saying is that there is new data that staff is doing a comprehensive review of, and as part of that, staff may determine that more monitoring is needed. But we need a basis to determine. We need a basis basically to suspect that a particular well may have an increasing trend or may have a hit above 6 in order to require monitoring in order to satisfy the requirements of Section 13267 of the Water Code. And the whole comprehensive monitoring program is designed and is being designed to catch all the trends and to have all that data without necessarily having to monitor every single well. Maybe at some point it'll be determined that that's necessary, but based on what we know so far, it's not.
Are these wells being monitored monthly?
The currently
ones
quarterly.
Slated?
Quarterly.
Quarterly. So we're going to have another data point for each of the 78 by May?
I would have to defer to Olin on that question. I certainly, if you take action today, they're probably waiting for your determination on this resolution and whether or not to monitor all 78 wells. If the resolution is adopted by the board, they'll have to monitor 6-7 of the wells. I think that would be confusing you.
Well, it seems like there may be some, maybe I'm wrong, but there may be some sense at least that it might be appropriate to allow the termination of the bottled water deliveries, but to continue the monitoring of these 78 wells as long as we can. And I would be in favor of that, to get some more data to see if the trend continues down or if there's a spike that might give us some reason to, you know, readjust things. Is that something we can do with today's action item?
Well, Olin could agree to that. The other alternative, actually, is to not pass the resolution, and then they'll have to continue monitoring in order to justify discontinuing bottled water in the future.
What if?
But only till May.
Mr. Chairman, I guess question for Lori, what if we applied the more stringent 4 prospective quarters standard to the monitoring and not to the water?
There's no provision for that in the order. I mean, you can make an independent determination. No. You can make an independent determination that monitoring is needed for reasons that didn't exist when the order was issued, that there's new information suggesting you need more monitoring. But absent that new information,
okay.
There isn't a factual basis to support it.
Well, thank you very much. Could the is it Mr. Richards?
Yes,
would you mind coming back up? you know, we're kind of trying to figure out, obviously, what to do. Well, Mr. Daniels, you wanted to add something, too? Okay. How do you feel, and I don't know where everyone else feels about this, but what if we allowed for the termination of the bottled water deliveries, but asked you to continue monitoring those 78 wells for the next go-around?
We don't see any need to do that. We believe we have enough information currently that we understand where the perchlorate is currently in the valley, and we know where it is not. And there's no reason to continue monitoring those wells. And under the state order we have, it gives us the ability not to monitor wells that are less than four unless they're within 500 feet of an existing well above four. It's a waste of money. And there is, you know, I'll go back to the emphasis of what the issue is here. It's six parts per billion. It's not four. Four is not the number. Six is the number. All these wells are well below the four.
It's not just numbers.
It's risk.
It's risk, and it's public perception of risk also.
And the
board, you know, we're the last draw on this, to at least do what we can to assure that the public is being protected. And so it's not, I don't reduce it just to numbers, because we've got different kinds of numbers. And depending on which agency is putting forth their agenda, we may have bigger numbers or little numbers. And there's variability even within that prospect and that effort. So there's something else we're balancing. And I was hoping maybe we could get you to go along with something. Perhaps not.
We believe that we have already compromised when we received the state order that said to continue monitoring for four prospective quarters. You have to understand the state board order says unless it's above six parts per billion, Olin is not required to provide alternative water. The compromise was providing alternative water over these four quarters where we continued to gather additional data. Otherwise, we would have taken that order and appealed it to a higher court. So we already have compromised, and we believe we are protective, and we believe that we are providing bottled water to individuals that require bottled water. The other point that I would like to make is the fact that, you know, we have provided bottled water since the very beginning. Even before we were ordered to provide the bottled water, if we felt there was a health risk in the area, we wouldn't be having this discussion. The other thing that we will do under the monitoring program is look at trend analysis. And if we see a trend that is going in the wrong direction, we will go back and monitor these wells. We've made that commitment before to Roger and to the staff. It's not our intent to subject people to water above the drinking water standard. That is not our intent at all. We believe we have enough data to make a science-based decision based upon the information we have.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Mr. Daniels.
A few quick points. There's been discussion about the numbers, in fact, just recently. I think one thing that need to be considered about the national numbers is that there is a real conflict with the federal government, that you look nationally, and most of the sites are caused by Defense Department or defense-related sites. And so they have a very real substantial financial conflict of interest there, because they would like the numbers as high as possible, because if they go low, it costs them money, just like for Olin. There's a financial conflict. I think the second point is that, you know, the people here have been impacted. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, by the state constitution, you know, it's their water. The state constitution says the water is owned by the people of California. So they're the ones that have been impacted. I think they're the ones that need to be protected. And in particular, I think if you look at the cleanup laws, the cleanup law says that cleanup needs to be or can be taken to background levels. And the background level of perchlorate isn't 6, it isn't 4, it isn't even trace or non-detect. It's 0. And so that needs to be considered. I know you have discretion today to hurry up because has been discussed this summer, you won't have any discretion. But you have discretion now to hurry up and cut off these people, cut off their water supply, cut off their monitoring. And I just don't see any reason to do that. So I would be supportive of the ideas that were expressed earlier about being protective and cautious.
I have a couple comments to make.
Thank you.
Thanks. First, on the issue of public perception, I just want to clarify that the basis of making any decision isn't the public perception. The basis is the board's determination of how much risk is acceptable. And I agree that the cleanup level is zero unless there's an issue of technical or economic feasibility, but that's not the basis of the board's decision today. It's really clear from the state board order that the cleanup level and the replacement water trigger level are different, and the monitoring requirements and the replacement water trigger are different, so that if monitoring is needed for any reason, it's not related to either of those things. What the state board order says about the four prospective quarters, I'm just going to read part of the state board order because I think there's been some mischaracterization of what it says. While the Central Coast Water Board points to fluctuations in perchlorate detection as further justification for requiring water replacement at a lower level of contamination, reliability of data is a separate issue. Olin must meet the replacement water requirements at the appropriate level. In order to ensure that any discontinuation of replacement drinking water service resulting from this order is based upon accurate and current information, we will require that four prospective consecutive quarters of monitoring data be provided to illustrate that a well consistently tests below the PHG, the public health goal. Therefore, well owners currently receiving replacement water service will not have such service discontinued as a result of the findings in this order until four new consecutive quarters of monitoring are available to show that a well tests below the PHG. And prospective means after the order. The Central Coast Water Board has discretion to act to shorten this time period. So if the board determines that it needs more quarters of monitoring data to satisfy itself that it should exercise the discretion, then the way to do that is to not approve the resolution.
And then would this automatically come back to us, or by
By default, after four prospective quarters after May 19th of last year, it would terminate. And the staff is in the process of considering the monitoring requirements, so those may change for other reasons.
Okay. Dr. Press?
Mr. Chair, I don't see any reason for hurrying up.
All right. Do you want to make a motion?
I would like to make a motion to reject the resolution.
Second.
Actually, if there's no motion to adopt the resolution, you don't.
Yeah.
It just ends.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Any comments then before we?
My comment here, my reasoning is that more data are better than less data. We will have more data about these wells. Moreover, the state order takes place anyway within a few months. I don't see why we would tell the residents we've heard enough to go faster than the state order. I just don't see any reason for that. I don't think the data support that. I don't think our duty to the quality of the state's waters support that. So I can't support voting on a resolution to speed up.
Okay. There's no other comments, then I guess we're done with this agenda item.
Well, do you want to ask if there's a motion to approve it?
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the staff's recommendation and the resolution? Okay. Seeing none, we will move on in our agenda. Thank you very much.